for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday morning, March the 29th, 1998. Final service of the Spring Family Camp Meeting held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. David Brogdon of Jacksonville, Illinois, is the speaker of the morning.
Well, I want to thank the campground, Glenn and Irma, Joel and Melody, and all of you down here that have been so gracious to me and have opened up your hearts to hear the Word of God. I thank God that you're receiving. And there was much water this time and perhaps a lot of seed that was planted from the various ministers. It's been interesting to see how God builds upon the Word.
Yeah.
Every time I've been down here, there's been a specific theme that He's used through the whole of this camp meetings. And I believe the theme this time is that seed that's been planted within you, He wants it to grow.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Seed of the Word, He wants it to grow so that you can have that intimate relationship with Jesus. Amen.
Hallelujah.
That's the bottom line, is having that intimate relationship.
Yes.
John chapter 10, if you'll turn there quickly. I have a plane to catch, and so I'm going to do a run real fast. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you now in the name of Jesus Christ for your word. For your word is preeminent in our lives, Lord, and it should be preeminent in our lives. And Lord, I thank you for these, your people that are here this day, Lord, that their ground has been broken up, Father God, and that fallow ground is ready to receive the seed again, Father God, in the rain of your word. Father God, that would produce that fruit in them, Father God, that would be pleasing unto you. Lord, I pray that their ears be open now at this time in Jesus' name. Will we bind any demonic interference of any kind in Jesus' name that would hinder the growth of this word, Father God. And Lord, what they've received, that they may propagate it out in the areas where they go in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Ooh, glory.
Glory to God.
John chapter 10. Jesus says something in verse 10. He says, "The thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly."
Yeah.
Jesus gives us a pattern of what the thief will do. He wants to kill, first of all, doesn't he? Then he wants to kill. He wants to steal the word away from you. And if the word has been stolen from you, then there's no life within you. But if you do happen to get the word, then he wants to kill the effect of that word. Amen. He wants to stop the effect of that word in your life. Amen. If he can't do that, then he comes to destroy you. He wants to destroy your reputation. He wants to destroy anything about you. Now, I don't have time to get into this, but if you look over in Nehemiah right quickly, there's some tactics that the devil used. Nehemiah is the book of restoration. And in this particular Ezra and Nehemiah, they come back to restore. And we find in Nehemiah some tactics that the enemy uses to destroy God's people, looking at chapter 4 of Nehemiah. Now, I don't know about you, but I write a lot in my Bible. Tommy Cook, I notice his is worse than mine. And I'm sure that if I looked at Doc Knowles or some of the others, it'd be loaded with notes. You know, too many times we put notes on pieces of paper, and when we're out someplace and we have the word with us, we don't have that piece of paper. So it's good to write notes in your Bibles. Yeah, there you go. That's true. That's true. God desires for us to know. You know, knowledge, lack of knowledge will destroy us. So we need knowledge, and we need to write it down, and need to have it in a place where we can use it. You know, not all the time we have our big thick notebooks with us. I was looking the other day. I've got stuff in storage, and I've got a round barrel this tall, and it's full of notes. You know, but what good is it? I can't carry that with me everywhere I go. But I can carry the Word of God, and I can write in there and write the important things down. So get your pens out and write today. Write some things.
Yeah.
It will help you. It'll be beneficial. If you don't have a pen, they sell them in the back. No, they have pens back there. Do you want to know there's 9 tactics that the enemy uses 9 tactics that he'll use to stop the work of the Lord in your life.
Yes.
In your life. In Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. Okay? But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. Mockery, I'll tell you what it is. But that's not the thing. And he spoke before his brethren in the army of Samaria and said, "What do these feeble Jews, will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? And will they revive the stones out of the heaps and rubbish which are burned?" Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him and said, "Even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone walls." You know what they were doing right there? God had sent Nehemiah back to build the wall, build the temple, restore it again. You know what they were doing? They were ridiculing. That's number one. The enemy comes in to ridicule you. Who are you? Who do you think you are? What do you mean you got gifts? Huh? Who are you? And so that's one tactic of the enemy, is to ridicule you. And if he can't stop you that way, then look down at verse 10 of chapter 4. "And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. And our adversary said, they shall not know, neither till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease." What's that? What was they doing? Discouragement.
Yes.
They were being discouraged. "Oh, but if we start building, you know, the enemy's going to come." And they were getting discouraged. And that's the second thing that the enemy does. He comes to discourage you.
Yes.
If he can't stop you with ridiculing you, then he'll come to discourage you. Yes. "Oh, this work's too hard. Oh, my, there's so much to do. There's so much study. Oh, my. Discouragement comes in. And he tries to stop you with discouragement. Now, I'm going over this real fast, folks, because you need to know these things, okay? And he says, verse 12 says, "And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times." The 10 is the number of law, order, government, restoration, trial, testing, and responsibility. And there was a testing coming for these people. There was a testing coming. But verse 12 says, "From all places whence you shall return unto us, they will be upon you." Yes. What were they saying? They were saying that we're going to come against you. The third thing is, they want to bring danger or promote danger in your life. They want to cause bodily harm to you. People come up, "I don't like you. I don't like your work. You're in deliverance. That's not of God." You know, and they get mad. The demons get mad and they want to strike out.
Yes.
And so he brings danger, bodily harm. It's one tactic of the enemy. He's going to try to stop you and slow you down. Now this next thing is in chapter 5. Look at chapter 5, verses 1 to 5. And there's several things in this, but I'm going to read it real quickly. "And there was a great cry of the people and of their wives against their brethren the Jews, for there were that said, 'We are sons and our daughters are many, therefore we take up corn for them that we may eat and live.' Some also that said, 'We have mortgaged our lands, vineyards, and houses that we might buy corn because of the dirt.' There were also that said, 'We have borrowed money for the king's tribute, and that upon our lands and vineyards. Yet now our flesh is as the flesh of our brethren, our children as their children. And lo, we bring into bondage our sons and our daughters to be servants, and some of our daughters are brought into bondage already. Neither is it in our power to redeem them, for other men have our lands and vineyards." The fourth thing is, God wants to bring discord in. He wants to bring discord. He tries to do all kinds of stuff. See, if the children of Israel were doing what they should have done, and see their brother have a need, they don't hold back their powers of compassion. They go and help their brother. You see, but they weren't doing that, and they were causing their brethren to be in discord. There was discord among them. "Hey, they're not helping me. They says in the scriptures they would, but they're not helping me. How come they're not helping me?" See, and so there was a fight. There's fighting amongst themselves and discord amongst themselves. And then that same verse in verse number four there, it says they had to go borrow money. It brought financial difficulties, okay, upon them. That there is the fifth thing. They brought financial difficulties. They were in a dire strait. How many of us have said, I would do the work of the Lord, but I don't have the finances? You know, the enemy seems to hold back the finances, holds back those things. And that brings discouragement, doesn't it?
Yes.
Goes back to discouragement. He discourages. We're discouraged easily. Yet if we continue on and persevere in Jesus, you know, knowing the tactics of the enemy. Chapter 6, real quickly. chapter 6, I'll end with chapter 6, and that brings in the four things, the other four things here of the nine tactics of the enemy. Chapter 6, verse 1, "Now it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem and the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I had built the wall and that there was no breach left therein, though at that time I had set up the doors upon the gates, then that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, Come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief."
Yes.
The sixth thing is distraction. The enemy wants to distract you from the work. If you put your hand, last night I was talking to a brother, and he's got a tremendous message. I think he's going to be here in the camp in May. I'm thinking that's what he told me, that Brother Glenn invited him down here. And he has a message, but the enemy has been distracting him to get that message together. And it'll be beneficial for the whole of the body of Christ. And so it was distracting him. The brethren were distracting him. These people were distracting. You know what? Brothers can distract us from doing the work of the Lord. People can come in and have us doing other things other than what God wants to do.
Amen.
So we have to be very careful if we're about our Father's business and doing what He wants to do, not to be distracted and go another direction or go another way or do something different. So distraction is the sixth thing. Amen. And now the seventh thing is, in verse 6 of this particular chapter, it says, well, I'll read verse 5. "Then sent Sanballat his servant unto me in like manner the fifth time with an open letter in his hand, wherein was written, It is reported among the heathen in Goshmu that saith it that thou and the Jews think to rebel, for which cause thou buildest the wall, that thou mayest be their king according to these words." So what he was doing was slandering him.
Yes.
See, Nehemiah had not desired to build up anything for his own personal use, but he knew he was sent by God to get things back in order again. So the enemy comes in to slander you or to defame you. Oh, did you hear about Brother Bill? Did you hear what he was doing? That he was doing this, that, and the other? And Peggy went along with it. See, he's slandering, see? It's erroneous stuff and spreads things about us. Did you hear about Glenn and Irma? You know, oh my goodness, they cast out devils at camp, and there's all kinds of devils anywhere you go on that property. They're behind trees, under rocks, and over the grass. And they're slandering. See, they're putting down the work of the Lord, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
I tell you, we have to be very careful what we're putting down. We have to be very careful what we're saying about our brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen? Very, very careful. Because we could fall in this category and be used of the devil. We can be used of the devil to defame or slander our brothers. We can be used of the devil to bring them into, well, financial difficulties, because the children of Israel did that. We can be used if we hold back. You see? We have to be very careful. Now, the eighth thing is, in verse 9 of this, it says, "Then I sent unto him, saying, There are no such things done as you say, but you feign them out of your own heart." You see, he was trying to bring, that's the eighth thing is fear. Trying to bring fear, see? Oh, these people are saying this about me? You know, you get fearful. You get very fearful, and you have to watch. You know, you're watching all the time. And the enemy wants to bring fear, dismay, and tries to destroy you. Amen? That's what his whole work is to try and destroy us. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Now, I want you to look real quickly because this scripture comes. Isaiah 41 and 10. This is something about fear. Okay? This is something that we need to know. Take this to heart. God says in Isaiah 41 and 10, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee."
Hallelujah.
"Be not dismayed." Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness.
Yes, hallelujah.
What's there to fear? What's there to fear? If you know in your heart that there's nothing wrong that you've done, and you hear all these evil reports and all these things, what's there to fear? There's no fear. God, I didn't do those things. You know I didn't do those things, so it's got to be the enemy. Now, I know some of this stuff has happened in my life. I'm telling you, this is first-hand stuff. But you know, I had some brothers in the Lord that was putting me down, and I just let it go until I got the opportunity to get in front of them. Then I called him on the carpet about it. And I don't hold no bones. I don't hold no bones. And they try to get out of it. They try to wiggle out of it. They try to say other things. And I said, well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to bring the people in that told me this stuff. And let's get it right. Let's get it straight right up front. They had to repent and ask me for forgiveness. And you know what? I told them I'd forgiven you before I came here. And see, we need to start just being bold where we need to be bold. We hear these things and you know you haven't done it. You go there and you get it straightened out so the enemy doesn't use it. Because the enemy's using those people. The devil's using them. Now, I'd like to see them get some deliverance, but that wasn't the case for them. They didn't think they needed it. Oh, boy. Got off on that sidetrack. And then the last thing in verse 10 through 14, let's read that. And afterward I came into the house of Semaiah, the son of Deliah, the son of Metabeel, who was shut up. And he said, let us meet together in the house of God within the temple, and let us shut the doors of the temple, for they will come to slay thee. Yea, in the night will they come to slay thee. And I said, should such a man as I flee? And who is there that, being as I am, should go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. And lo, I perceived that God had not sent him, but that he pronounced this prophecy against me. For Tobiah the Sanovite had hired him. Therefore was he hired that I should be afraid and do so sin, and that they might have matter for an evil report, that they might reproach me. My God, think thou upon Tobiah and Sanballat according to these words, and on the prophetess Noadiah and the rest of the prophets that should have put me in fear. The last thing is false prophets to bring in deception.
Yes.
False prophets or prophetesses that bring in deception, bring in false words, bring in false things. Let's shut ourselves up in the house of God. For they're to slay thee. But yet he was hired for this, wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
Whew, boy. You know, Satan appears as an angel of light sometimes, doesn't he? He appears as an angel of light. And his ministers, that Scripture says, are angels of light also. They're ministering angels of light, and they come to deceive us. But you know, Nehemiah saw and perceived through that. I think he had a gift of discerning of spirits, don't you?
Yes.
He saw what was going on. The Holy Ghost was revealing to him what the bottom line was. See how important the gifts are in the body of Christ? Amen. Now, that's just a real quick little thing on tactics of the enemy. Now, you go through it. There's a lot there. I mean, this is it's good teaching, and there's a lot there. Look up every word, whatever one of these people's names mean. Look it up and start putting and interjecting that in the particular scriptures, and you'll get a better picture of what God is saying.
Yes.
Amen. A better picture. Here's one of the strategies that I believe that Satan is using in the church today. Compromise.
Yes. That's it.
Amen.
Compromise. I've seen too much compromise in the body of Christ. They're compromising the Word. As I said the other evening, I was appalled at this church we went to that called themselves Spirit-Filled, and it was nothing but compromise.
Yes, it was.
And yet they think they're going to be a blessing unto the Lord? No way. You know what causes compromise? I'm going to tell you what causes compromise. The fear of man. The fear of man causes compromise. There's no need for us to fear man if we're in Christ. Amen? And I've seen the fear of man bring the downfall of many ministries. They've compromised. When that person that's the biggest tither and leaves, they begin to compromise. Oh, should I go out and get this person to bring it back? See, that's compromise. Let them go. I like what Norman Perry says. He says, I don't look to those wells that are going to dry up. I look to the living stream, living waters to provide for me. I don't look to those wells. Woo, praise God. Look at Proverbs 29 and 25. Proverbs 29, verse 25. We're going to see what the fear of man brings. Amen. It says, Proverbs 29, verse 25, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. If the fear of man will bring a snare. You'll be snared. I'm telling you what, the devil sees where you're at, and it'll open up the door to many demonic spirits. And you'll be snared therein. And if you compromise in one part, you'll compromise in another. It may take a little while, but they'll open up the doors.
Yes.
Wow. But look at Proverbs chapter 16. I like Brother Solomon. I can call him that, I guess. He wrote the Proverbs here. Chapter 16, verse 6. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. That's the only fear we need, is the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord will keep us, will cause us to depart from iniquity. Cause us to be purged. Amen. Hallelujah. Verse 7 says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him.
Amen.
No compromise. Hallelujah. Look over in Galatians. I like what Paul says, Galatians 1:10. Paul talks about this. Galatians 1:10. He says, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. You know, a lot of me, I talked to several ministers here this weekend, and some are saying, well, you know, I don't want to say this, or I don't want to say that. You know, they compromise right there. I don't want to say this, or I don't want to say that. You know, this person may leave it. That's compromise. So what? Say it. What have you got to lose? What have you got to lose? You tell the truth, and the truth will convict them. And either set them free or cause them to not believe and go into more bondage. I didn't come to please men. I didn't come to please men. Amen. This is my favorite verse, and I use this a lot over in chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians. And my speech, verse 4 says, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. I didn't come here to please you this weekend. I come here to give you the truth, as the Lord has given me the truth. To bring you into the light more than what you were before. If you don't like it, you take it up with the Lord, because I'm getting it out of here. It's His book. He wrote it, gave it to us. Amen? If we fear the Lord, we're not going to fear man. You see, and that's what's missing in the church today, isn't it? The fear of the Lord. It's missing in the church. And I believe that our ministry will be false to the degree that we're affected by the fear of men. You hear that? Our ministry will be false to the degree that we're affected by the fear of man. I love my daughter because my oldest daughter, she can spot the phonies. I'm telling you what. They come in ministry and she'll tell me, Dad, that's a phony. I've had to stop one person ministering. You know, she said, that's a phony. That's right. And this one person got up and ministered, and I stopped him. Boom. You're not minister here again, and I'll tell everybody in the area about you. That's boldness.
Amen.
And I appreciate it. See, that's the gift that was working in her. She can discern, the discerning of spirit. She saw what was there. She knew what spirit was there. You know, I flow in and out of that, but not like her. She's consistent in that. That's why we need these gifts in the body of Christ. Those who are consistent, you know. Doc Knoll's consistent in it, you know. And others I spoke with here are consistent in those gifts. And that's why we need to have them working and flowing in the body of Christ. I can't stress that enough. I can't stress it enough today. You know, are we called to be servants of men or servants of the Lord Jesus Christ? That's the bottom line, isn't it? If we're servants of the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll fear Him and we won't care what man says or thinks or talks about us. Amen? If we begin to fear man, guess who's our master? Men. But if we fear the Lord, who's our master? Jesus. Whew, I want Him to be master. He's Lord and He's master. Amen? You know, there was a difference between Saul and David, wasn't there, in the Scriptures? And Saul decided he was going to do it himself, didn't he? He was going to bring sacrifice. You know what Saul saw? Because the prophet didn't come at the appointed time that he thought should be there. He decided, and he saw the people leaving. Oh my goodness, fear fell all over him. Well, the people are leaving. I guess he forgot the story about Gideon way back there. No, he didn't know that story, did he? But here's the man Saul. He saw the people leaving, and he did sacrifice, and he didn't wait upon the Lord, and the bottom line was he was removed from the office. And I'm telling you what, there are men that God has set up an office, but they begin to compromise, and God's going to remove them from the office.
Right, brother.
God will remove them from the office. Amen. Whew. I wrote this down. Compromise justifies disobedience, and disobedience leads to rebellion.
Yes.
And rebellion leads to witchcraft. And witchcraft leads to death. Compromise justifies disobedience. Disobedience leads to rebellion. Rebellion leads to witchcraft. And witchcraft leads to death. That's the order. Whew, there's so much here. Thank you, Lord. If we begin to compromise, we're going to fall into those particular categories. And Satan will use everything then to come at us to cause us to get to the very last one, which is death. Lest the Lord Jesus intervene. Lest we come to our senses and see, God, I've erred, I've sinned, I've compromised. And you repent of those things and get right with God, and God can justify and bring everything back to the place where it needs to be. And one of the things that I know with disobedience brings in also deception. And, of course, witchcraft brings in divination or sorcery, and you begin to control people.
Uh-huh.
You see? And I see that too much in the pulpits in America. They're controlling people. I looked up sorcery. Sorcery means this. It was kind of interesting because sorcery was with divination and went with witchcraft. Sorcery means using any spirit or device to dominate, control, manipulate another person or a situation. Any spirit or device to dominate, control, or manipulate another person or a situation. The enemy is subtle, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
And he doesn't do anything really bold because you'll recognize him, but he does it subtly.
Yes, he does.
Compromise comes in subtly. And as I said earlier, if you compromise in one area, you begin to compromise in others. Hallelujah. Look over in 1 Samuel chapter 15. We're going to look at Saul right quickly here. Hallelujah. First Samuel chapter 15. Of course, we all know the 23rd verse, I'm sure. But not many look unto the 24th verse. Paul said, "And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice." 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 24. I'm sorry if I didn't say that. Here's Saul, he says to Samuel, "I have sinned. Now therefore I pray you, pardon my sin and turn again with me that I may worship the Lord." And Samuel said unto Saul, "I will not return with you, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel." And as Samuel turned to go away, he laid hold upon the skirt of his mantle, and it rent. And Samuel said unto him, "The Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and hath given it to your neighbor of thine that is better than thou. And also the strength of Israel will not lie or repent, for he is not a man that he should repent." You see, what was actually Saul trying to do here? Saul was saying he didn't have a repentant heart. He just wanted Samuel to come with him to the people so he'd look good.
Uh-huh.
You see, and I see those ministries out there that don't really repent, but they want you to come in so they look good. That's why it's very careful. I just don't go everywhere. You know, I let the Lord just open up the doors and I pray about it after people call and then I go. We have to be very careful. Very careful in these days. Hallelujah. Saul here was trying to manipulate, wasn't he? He was trying to manipulate the prophet, and the prophet didn't fall for it. Praise God. But, you know, David was of a different spirit, wasn't he? He was different altogether. David inquired of the Lord. David was a man that looked after the Lord, looked to see the Lord. Now, if you look over in 1 Samuel chapter 30, here's a picture of David here. The Amalekites had come in and destroyed Ziklag, and David's people, chapter 30 of 1 Samuel. Now look at verse 6 of that chapter. And look, David's, here he comes back to Ziklag, and the town had been destroyed. The Amalekites had come in and taken everything, his wife, all the booty, everything that was there. And here's his people in verse 6 of this. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him. like it was David's fault. David, it's your fault. It's all your fault. All this stuff is happening. And old David, what he said, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David did something. He encouraged himself and in the Lord. You know, there are times we have to separate ourselves and encourage ourselves in the Lord. Nobody else can.
Amen.
We have to do it.
Good.
We have to do that. And when David encouraged himself in the Lord, and he went to the priest, verse 7, and David said to Abiathar, the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought hither the ephod to David, and David inquired at the Lord, shall I pursue after this troop, and shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. And David was a little smarter and wiser. He sought the Lord in everything, didn't he? I mean, with concerning this. He wanted to know God. What should I do? Should I go or should I stay? For he knew God's hand was in all of this, didn't he? He was wise enough to see that. And Satan knows if we're going to seek the Lord first, or if we're going to whine, bellyache, blame somebody else for your problems. He knows. As I said the other evening, if you have a problem, get to your knees first and then call somebody. That's the number one thing. You still got problems, then call. But God wants to... You know, prophecies are wonderful, but God wants to speak to you personally.
Yes, He does.
But because the body of Christ is in such a way, he knew ahead of time that gift was needed, because He uses men and women to speak to His people. But the ultimate is, He wants to speak to you personally without anybody else. And that'll have to cause you to get into a place where you're going to get into a quiet time with Him to hear. Some people, I've had them ask me here even this weekend, how do you hear from God? I listen. I set myself aside. I listen. Sometimes He'll wake me up in the middle of the night and start speaking. David trusted the Lord more than he trusted men and circumstances. And we should be the same. We should trust the Lord more than our circumstances. We should trust the Lord more than any person here. The Lord is our refuge, not man. Amen? So Satan comes in and he comes to discourage, doesn't he? He comes in to try to cause us to get into discord one with another, doesn't he? He wants to bring bodily harm or danger to us, doesn't he? He wants to bring financial difficulties upon us. You know these things. He wants to slander you if you can't do anything else. And you know what I found more than anything else? All these nine traits, I found it all happening in my family, in the church family. It wasn't people outside. It was all within the body of Christ. All within the body of Christ. Amen. You know, and another thing, another tactic that I believe the enemy uses is he wants to disorientate us. He wants to get us going another direction, you know. And it'll be religious things, I'm telling you. It'll always be religious things that you'll be running after, thinking you're doing some good for the Lord. When in reality, it's the enemy got you out here, got you over here, got you out. And pretty soon you get stretched pretty thin. Another thing that I believe that the enemy does, he wants to destroy the vision.
Yes.
Has God given you a vision personally? Have you asked God for your vision? God, what is it I'm to be doing for you? What's my vision? And if He's spoken to you perhaps in days past and you know what your vision is, know what your goal is, know what your work is, then you can begin to see these things happening in your life. But the enemy wants to stop the vision. I talked to one sister back here, and she's vision that God has given her for her is the intercessory prayer. Praise God. He gave her a vision. She knows what she's supposed to be doing, and she's happy in it. She's got the joy of it.
Yes.
You see? If there's no joy in your life, that's because Satan's trying to rob your vision. Or perhaps you don't have the vision. So get back to what God has told you to do. Amen?
Amen.
Or if you don't have a vision, pray. 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 Depression's a big one that Satan uses. He wants to really depress us and keep us depressed. That's not God, is it? God does not want us depressed. He doesn't want us depressed. Look over here in Isaiah chapter 61. What runs with depression is a spirit of heaviness. Okay? But look what God's antidote for that is. For the spirit of heaviness. Isaiah 61, verse 3. Says, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. If depression and heaviness comes on you, put on the garment of praise.
Yes.
You want to destroy the works of the devil, start praising God.
Yes, hallelujah.
And don't do it for a minute or 2 minutes. I'm telling you what, put you on a praise tape. Let it be playing all the time. Keep that word and keep the praise tape going. I tell you what, you got praise tape going, you got worship going, you don't have depression or heaviness.
Right.
You don't have it. He says that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. Has the Lord Jesus Christ planted you? Yes, He has. And He expects you to begin to do something. He expects you to begin to produce. Amen. And if you're not producing, He's going to cut you down. He's going to cut you down. I'm serious now. Because He wants you to produce. He's got this desire to see you be something other than what you are. Go over to Luke chapter 13. I'm going to show you what Jesus said. This is scriptural now. This is the Word. Luke chapter 13, verse 6. And He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. We talked about fruit the other day, didn't we? If he's coming, and you know, Jesus is a fruit inspector. Do you have fruit? If you don't have fruit, this is what he said. Then he said unto the dresser of the vineyard, behold, these 3 years. See, there's a time period here, isn't there? You should be producing fruit after 3 years. I've seen people in the body of Christ spend years not producing anything. But he's saying after 3 years, you should be producing fruit. How many years was the disciples with Jesus? Three and a half years. And they began to produce something after He ascended into heavenlies, didn't they? They produced that same likeness, you see, of Jesus. They were producing. A lot of people say to me, well, yeah, but I haven't sinned underneath Jesus. I sinned underneath somebody. Well, that's not Jesus' fault. You've got the Word of God. It's your responsibility to get in and study, to show yourself approved, a workman that rightly divided the Word of God, not being ashamed of it. It's your responsibility. Don't put the blame on the pastor or anybody else. Whoa. And He says, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on the fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And He answered and said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also till I dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, if not, then after that it should be cut down. Whoa. So He gives you an extra year to start producing. If not, you're going to be cut down. I know this is a type of Israel, but also it's a type for the church here. It's a type for the body of Christ. We're to be producing something for Jesus. Wow. I better quit here. I'm getting the meddling. And you know, I don't have time to meddle a lot. Okay, let's look at discouragement right quick. Discouragement will bring in doubt. If God gives you a promise, Satan will immediately try to rob it from you. Those of you that had words this weekend, that's a promise of God. God gave you a promise for something. I had one lady come up to me, and I'd given a word some, it was a year ago, 2 years ago, given a word to her, and she held on to that word, and she watered that word with prayer. I know she did. And God is bringing the results of that word. Now, I'm sure she hasn't seen the 100% of it, but I'm telling you, God will bring, as she continues to water it with prayer, God will bring the 100%. Because that's how He is. Amen. So discouragement will bring in doubt, will bring in, open up the door to depression also. And Satan will try to make us think that we're nothing. That's what depression really does, doesn't it? Discouragement, depression. You feel in yourself that you're nothing. And this is a question we most often ask the Lord. Why God are you doing this? Or why God am I in this situation? And why God? And see, that's Satan bringing in all that doubt there. And then you begin to think, surely God, you wouldn't allow this to happen. And the enemy speaks in your voice. Oh yes, He would. He doesn't love you. You've done such and such. And then He begins to bring about all those things that you've done in the past that was been washed and covered and under the blood. So whenever the spirit of heaviness comes on you, depression, discouragement, or doubt, begin to praise God. Begin to worship Him. Because if you don't, the ultimate end of all of that is, as I said, death. Amen. Now we need to die, not the fleshly so much, but we need to die, don't we? We need to die to self. All of self's got to go. There's a teaching that I have about the tabernacle of Moses, the temple of Solomon, and the feast of the Lord, and how they all parallel one another. But the ultimate end is you can never get to that place where God's going to really use you. And that, as Tommy and others have said, the man, child, first fruits, there's various names of this kind. You'll never get to there till you die wholly to self. Not my will, don't we pray this prayer? Not my will, but Thy will be done. In everything we do, not my will, but Thy will be done. Thy will. Well, praise be to God. There's so much to look into here. But if we humble ourselves before the Lord, He'll keep us from the evil one. Amen? That's the bottom line. Humility. Being humble at all times. Seeking the Lord in everything. Whatever you do, seek the Lord. Get the mind of God on it. Don't move till you get the mind of God. Amen? Know that the tactics of the devil, know what they are. And this is just one example in Nehemiah. There are various other examples. Samson and Delilah, another. Tommy Cook had a good teaching on that a number of weeks ago. Samson and Delilah, that's another area the enemy comes in and uses various tactics to stop the anointing of God, to stop the anointed ones. Amen? So, praise be to God. Do you want to bear fruit? Bless you, brother. I want to bear fruit. I don't want to be cut off. Go through the Scriptures. Any have a strong concordance? Go look at all the cutoffs. God has a lot of things about cutoffs.
Yes.
There's so many things to find out in the Scriptures that we need to know. There's so many things that we need to feed our spirit man. There's so many things we need to know from God. But the bottom line is, I don't want to be cut off, or I don't want to be cut down. I want to bear fruit for the kingdom of God. And I want to see the kingdom of God established in this earth as it's going to be established in the earth. Amen. Praise be to God. Well, I'm going to cut it off here. Shut it down, so to speak. The bottom line is, in John chapter 10, Jesus said He has come to give you life, and that you might have it more abundantly.
Yes.
You need the life of Jesus. Amen. That's the only life to have. No other life. Just the life of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. What's your name, sister? Yeah. Rhonda. The Lord said that you've come here this weekend and you've received many things that was hard to understand and hard to forbear. And you, I just see your mind just kind of like, woo-hoo, you know, going all over, you know. There's just a lot of things just churning in your mind. But God said that the things we're given here are yea and amen. And he says you can take the word and you can look at the word and you can dissect that word and it'll all be truth to you. And God said that there's going to be some growth in the days ahead. God said that there's a stagnation. There's times that you just didn't trust anyone. You didn't want to have anything to do with anyone. But God said that those days have ended. That time is over. God said that you put all your trust in Him and in His Son Jesus. You put all that trust in them. And God said that you're gonna grow. And God said you're gonna grow by leaps and bounds. And God said there's gonna be those in the family that are going to just be astounded at some of the wisdom that's gonna come out of your mouth. And God said in days past that there were times that you just didn't want to speak. You didn't want to say things. You just was, I'm just going to shut myself in, sort of shut yourself out from everyone. And God said that was well and fine, and he allowed those things to happen and all that stuff. But he said now he's going to break, you're going to break out. I see you just breaking out, and you're going to break out in such a way, the Lord's showing me that you're going to just dance before the Lord, that you're going to get to the place where you can't stop dancing. You're going to be in your room. You're going to be in your kitchen. You're going to be wherever. You're going to dance before the Lord. And God said, with that, there's going to be some bondages broke. The more that you do it, the more it's going to be broken. It's not going to be flesh. A lot of people say it's flesh, but it's going to be the Spirit working in you and breaking and liberating you from many things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sister, what's your name?
Mary Kay.
Mary Kay, the Lord said that there's been a lot of things that has happened in your life. There's been a lot of, I see a lot of downers, a lot of low roads. There's not been many high roads. It's just a lot of low roads. And God said He's bringing you up. He's going to bring you out of that low road. He said there's a higher plane in a place that He wanted you to walk. God said that from this day forth, you're not going to compromise anymore. There'll be no compromise of the word. There'll be no compromise of anything. And the things that people have said to you in days past that have caused you to doubt and caused fear to come in your life, God said, you're going to take and be bold, and you're going to come out of those circumstances, and you're even going to go back to them and in love just reveal the truth to them. And God said, and you're going to walk away from situations. There's some situations you need to walk away from now, and you need to get out of those situations. You don't need to be staying in those situations. And God said, walk away from them. He said, don't go back anymore.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. What's your name? Christian.
Trouble, huh?
You're what?
I'm in trouble, huh?
Well, God said you have been. God said that you've rebelled and you went this way and you went that way. And you're looking for truth. And God said that those that were your peers and those that you looked to, God said that they had no truth at all. He said, but He's going to bring you to truth. God said He's going to use you to affect your generation. He's going to use you to minister to many in your generation. And God said He's going to bring you real quickly, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, into the truth, even more so. And God said that you're such a nature that you're going to stand on that you know is true. And you won't back down. You won't go to the right, neither will you go to the left, but you'll walk that straight and narrow. And God said that He has many places and many people for you to talk to of your generation. And God's going to train you up to be a man after His own heart. A man that will not compromise. A man that will stand strong. A man that will be a man. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Greg, God said that you've been discouraged. There's been some discouragement, and you've been discouraged, and you've had questions. You've wondered, well, should I do this, or should I do that, or where should I go? You're looking for a direction. I just see that direction that God said you just need some help in this. And God said in the next few days, He wants you to separate yourself and get alone with Him. And God's going to speak clearly. You're going to hear the voice of the Lord like you've never heard it before. And He's going to speak clearly to you, and He's going to give you that direction. And He's going to show you even areas in your life that you need to get free from. And you're going to go to those that can help you, or you're going to go to the Lord, and you're going to get free from those areas. God said that you're going to be changed, and He's going to do that quick work within you. He's going to change you. And God said that joy will be restored within you. And God said said he's going to use you in the days ahead to minister to those in your family. I just see many in the family being ministered to. I see many in the family being helped by what God has placed within you. God said he's going to give you compassion like never before. You thought you had compassion. You thought you might have known it. But God said he's going to take away all that hardness and remove all those things and give you compassion and more compassion and more compassion. Even so much so that you're going to come up on people and the compassion is going to hit you and you're going to weep like a child, but you're going to give the sure word of the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Jesus is good, isn't he? Hallelujah. What's your name, brother, back here in the back? Yours, yeah.
Maury.
Okay, Maury. Maury, the Lord was saying that you think your work's done. You think, like, I've done a lot, I've seen a lot of things, but God has much more for you. I mean, He has a lot of things. You've got a lot of just a lot of good attributes that you've allowed God to work within you. There's a lot of good things that He's done in your life, and you trust in the Lord. You're a man that just trusts wholly in Him. You don't look to anybody else but only to the Lord, and you've been a man that's been steadily seeking more of the Lord, steadily seeking. God said He's going to take you into the prayer closet. And you're going to go into the prayer closet, and you're going to pray, and you're going to pray, and you're going to intercede. And God said, through those prayers, He's going to show you how to pray. And I just see your family. I just see many in your family. There's a lot of rebellion in the family. There's just a lot of rebellion. I just see them on both sides. I just see all this rebellion out there. And God said He's going to use you to pray and pull down the rebellion in hearts so that they can hear the gospel and come into the kingdom. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Brother, what was your name again? What's his name?
Joe.
Yeah. Joe. The Lord said that you've quietly sought Him. And you've cried unto Him for that healing. You've cried unto Him for that healing. And you've wanted to be healed. And you've wanted to do more and to do more for the Lord. But you see the hindrances. You felt the hindrances. You know, Lord, how can I do anything for you? How can I do anything for you? But the Lord says, son, get on your knees. Pray.
Amen.
God said He's called you into that place to prayer, that place of intercession. And through intercession and through prayer, I see the two of you just interceding and praying. And I see, no matter what it looks like in the natural, I see God using it. And God said you're going to have many rewards in that day. And many rewards will be stored in the heavenlies because of the prayers. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The lady back here in the back... next to that, writing. What's your name? Karen. Karen, the Lord said you've been through troubled times. You've been down more than up. He says that there's been a lot of times that you didn't know whether you're going to make it. You didn't know whether life was worth staying or not. But you've endured. That you held on. You held on. God said He's got it. There were some changes that happened this weekend within you. But God said there's more changes. There's more things going to take place. God said there's going to be more deliverance. And God said that there's going to be a more joy come back into your life. And God said, just set yourself aside. And He said, get yourself in a place where you can praise Him more and praise Him more and praise Him more. Even take that time to get into the bathroom, get away from others and just get there and lock that door. They won't come in there. Just get in there and just praise the Lord and just praise the Lord and praise the Lord. And just watch as you begin to praise the Lord, He says, watch as you begin to praise, all the cares of this life will begin to fall away. God said that He's bringing you into some new realms, and He's going to bring you in there quickly. But He said you're able to come in. God said that you can change fast. He said that you have that ability that you can change and flow, and you can begin to come into things quickly. And you can learn fast. God said you have that mindset that you can learn things and you can hold on to it. And in fact, the things that you've grasped even now this weekend, you're held on to them for their yea and their amen. And God said that watching the days ahead, He's changing circumstances, but it's going to come. come when you get to the closet and begin to praise him.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah.
Doreen, the Lord says, keep it up. Don't stop. Just keep it up. Just keep going. Keep plunging. Keep plunging. It looks like nothing's been done. It looks like, oh my goodness, Lord, it's a hard road down here. What am I here for? God says, just keep it up. Keep going. He says, because the seed's been planted. And God said, I'm bringing waters into water. And I'm bringing waters into water. He says, watch and see if it shall not flourish in the end.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Back here in the back. Boy, I got to get going. Thank you, Jesus. Ooh, hallelujah. Praise God. I don't know. You two are married? Okay, what's your name?
Rick.
And Nikki. Rick and Nikki. The Lord has spoken a word in days past to you, I believe, and there's been some words and been many things given to you, and God, and you've been just been kind of pressing in to God and saying, God, when are these things going to come to pass? When is this stuff going to come to pass? And God said that He's had you here for training, and your training is about to end. And God said that with that end of that training, God said that He's got that work for you, He's got that place for you, He's got everything already put together in His hands, and you'll know it. And you'll know it, the people here will know it, everybody you'll know what's going to take place. And God said that He's training you, and He's trained you well. And you're not to say that you're fully trained or fully 100%, but God said that He's trained you. And now you know the difference between the darkness and the light. You know that difference. And so God said that there's something new coming in your lives. There's going to be a change in your lives, but it's God in the change. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. What's your name, sister?
Margaret.
Margaret. Thank you. Margaret, the Lord said that you've been liberated much. And you've been liberated much. And God said that the place where he has you planted right now, that you've not been received very well. You've not been accepted, so to speak. But God said, that's quite all right. He said, He's placed you there. But God said that He's testing, He's using you to test and to try the people to see whether they'll hear or whether they won't hear. So you just keep opening your mouth. You keep opening your mouth. You keep doing what the Lord has told you to do. And God said there's coming an end to it, and that He'll move you on. He'll move you on, and you'll know when He's going to move you on. There's a work to do there. God wants to test and wants to try them, wants to bring them in there. There are going to be some that'll come out of it. Not all of them are going to come out, but there'll be some that's going to come out. The others can stay in there and be in darkness, but there are some that's coming to the light.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
What's your name, sister? What's your name?
Thank you, Jesus.
No, you right here.
Laura.
Laura, God says you have a heart after Him, that you desire to just get into the presence of God all the time. That's your desire, is to be in the heart of God, to be in His will, to be in His will. And God said, that's good that you desire that. God said there's going to come a place in Him that you're going to come real in a matter of time, just real within a week or so, you're going to get into a place of God that you're going to never want to get out of. And God's going to reveal and show things to you in this place. In this place, there's going to be some revelation come, and some revelation of the Word, and there's going to be a change in you, even more of a change. And there's going to be, God said that you've kept yourself undefiled from many things, that you've kept yourself undefiled and you've kept yourself pure. And God said He's going to use that purity in the days ahead. Hallelujah. Jasmine, right? Praise God, Jasmine. Father, I thank You for Jasmine right now. I thank You for that continued healing in her body right now, Lord. And Lord, we thank You for, we know that man can only do certain things, but Lord, that You can do many things. And Lord, nothing is impossible with You, Lord. And I thank You for that continued healing in her body. Thank You, Lord. Thank You. Jasmine, the Lord said that He's really pleased with you. He said that you've not opened your mouth, you've not murmured, you've not complained, you've not said anything, but He's pleased with you. And God said He's using you for an example for the adults. He's using you as an example for many because you've kept your mouth shut. And God said that at the end result is they're going to see a miracle. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo, glory. Bill and Peggy, the Lord says that You've both been kind of, I see like a stale piece of bread is what I see. there's been some staleness. I mean, you've just been in that place where it's just been stale. God said, I see this oil coming on just giving freshness. There's going to be a freshness to the ministry. There's going to be a fresh songs. God said he's given some songs. There's some songs coming for you. And I mean, they're going to be anointed songs for the body of Christ. God said, keep a paper and a pencil or something by the bed so that you can write these down. God said he's going to wake you up even in the night seasons. And the song's going to flow. The music's going to flow. And it's going to be there for the body of Christ to bless them. And Peggy, God said that with Bill, with this flowing there, God said he's going to bring you into it also. And you're going to find yourself even at this kitchen sink humming something and wondering what it is, but it's going to spark something in him.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Woo! Gloria, vamos. The brother in the back. Gosh. What's your name? Back here in the room. What? Billy. Billy, the Lord said you've been through a lot of things. You've been down the road of hard knocks. There's been a lot of knocks down that road, more knocks than anything. And it seemed like you just had to put on, you took on something down that road. You took on something. You knew you had to hold on to something, and you held on to the right thing. You held on to Jesus. You held on to Jesus when nobody else you could hold on to. You held on to Jesus. And Jesus said, it was well that you held on to me, son. For as you held on to me, and I nourished you, and I strengthened you, and I brought you through, yea, even in the days ahead, I'll bring you even further. Yea, and you'll come into more revelation. You'll come into more light. And just hold on to me, son. Just hold on to me. For it's not over yet, but when it's over, you're going to rejoice. You're going to rejoice, and even the family.
Hallelujah. Ooh, hallelujah. I've got to go.
That airplane won't wait.
I know he won't.
Amen. Thank you for your presence to go with all here today, that as they travel today and tomorrow. We thank you, Lord, for your anointing to step into a body. We thank you, now, Lord, for your care and protection over them. We thank you for the food that's ready to be eaten. We bless it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. It's a new day, it's a new day, it's a new day of the Lord. It's a new day, it's a new day, it's a new day of the Lord. A day of joy and gladness, of victories to be won. It's a new day, it's a new day, it's a new day of the Lord. It's a new day, it's a new day, it's a new day of the Lord. A day of joy and gladness, a victory to be won. Jesus Christ, God's Son. It's a new day. It's a new day. It's a new day of the Lord. It's a new day. It's a new day. It's a new day of the Lord. A day of joy and gladness. A victory to be won.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.